Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to old Journey. We always talk about him, but thank you, man, for what you do week in and week out, pressing the buttons on the board, making sure the cameras are right.
You're going to make Journey cry.
I know. I'm trying to.
He's not used to you talking good about him.
I know. I'm trying to, you know.
Journey, I'm almost thinking, what's the angle here?
No angle. I was told the other day I didn't have any sympathy or empathy. So
who told you that?
It doesn't matter. But anyway, thank you, man. You do a great job. We appreciate you week in and week out coming in doing this.
Thank you, guys.
This program was it's a birth child of Journey's, man. He's the one for probably a year or so tried to get us to do this.
We tried to get out of it, too.
No, we don't want to do this. Nobody will listen
to this.
You
were all in from day one,
no,
right?
No, I said we could get somebody else.
And Journey, the studio here, he's the one who took a closet and made a studio out of it. So he was lobbying for some more cameras just a while ago when I was out there talking with him.
So thank you, man.
Just get that first dollar coming in, then I think you'll roll from that.
That's right. Well, I've got my coffee cup sitting here, and it's turned a certain way. So
that is I heard you say Chick-fil-A coffee cup, but I didn't know it was like a Yeti style cup.
So we had a women's conference over at our church plant in Windmark Beach. And Chick-fil-A was one of the sponsors of that. So my wife came home with all kinds of Chick-fil-A stuff.
Nice.
I'm still waiting for that golden Chick-fil-A card.
Yeah.
Which, I can roll in, but they'd probably be scared to give me a golden Chick-fil-A card. Get whatever I want. My 17-year-old would steal it.
Yeah.
I like some holy chicken from Chick-fil-A.
It's good.
We've catered in here for Wednesday night meals. That's a lot of chicken.
Over the last several months.
Can never go wrong with it.
True.
And their customer service, good.
It's good. Yes. It's good. Quick, fast,
it is,
nice.
It is. Always the
My
same,
pleasure.
Consistent.
Yep.
So, anyway. But, if they watch this program and they're like, my goodness, those guys are really giving us a good promo, then, you feel free. You could sponsor the Unchangeable Truth we just call it the Unchangeable Truth with Chick-fil-A.
There you go. There you go.
Or, we kind of put it up. We'll take bids.
We don't have a lot of people bidding, though.
No. I'm just thinking maybe one of those little four packs of little chicken nuggets and rolls. Those are pretty good.
We could do party platters.
Party platters.
We could sample. Maybe they come out with something new, which they really don't come out with anything new, but we could sample some stuff.
We could.
Yeah. That peach shake they have.
What is this peach shake?
I think
stuff?
It's like a seasonal thing.
I've never had that. Yeah. I like peach shake.
Yeah. I may have it wrong. I think it's them that has a peach.
Right.
We'll edit it if it's wrong. Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell. I've got some marks on my face and around my eyes and stuff like that.
So I haven't looked at you that closely today, brother.
Have you not? Well, I've had some folks today. Hey, what's wrong with your eyes? It's not really my eyes. It's my cheeks. So the older you get and the more you're exposed to the sun, you kind of have some precancerous spots.
Yeah.
And so my dermatologist who goes to church here gave me some high-powered cream. I think they were mixing it over in China or somewhere. And I can tell you this, it had to be specially ordered, compounded. And he said
sizzle
no.
When you put it on your face?
It didn't sizzle. It didn't. That would have scared me.
Yeah.
But the sizzle happened after.
Yeah.
Because I had to do it for several days, and he's been on me because he ideally wanted me to do this when I wasn't going to be out in the sun. And then I'm like, oh, crud, man, we're getting really close to sun time. And so I did it, and he said, do it as many days as you can and tolerate it. And I thought I was doing real good, but boy, about day three, it started lighting me up. So hopefully.
Huh? It burns?
It burns, yeah. It's like a almost like a road rash type deal because what it does is it targets that old skin and gets it out of there and you get fresh skin. And anyway, getting old, man, it just
It still looks good, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah, still look good.
And, you know, here in Florida, honestly, we ought to be wearing 150 proof sunscreen and probably cover all up in hats and everything. And I just get outside and I don't put anything on.
You know, I've never heard of 100 proof sunscreen until your daughter had to have it.
Emma.
Yeah. Like prescription.
Yeah.
Sunscreen.
She is a gecko, man. No, seriously. Her skin is so fair. It's so fair. We tease her and we call her that at the house.
I'm never calling her gecko.
Well, I wouldn't encourage that. But here's the deal. If she'll slowly, blonde hair, blue eyes, just real fair skin. If she slowly adjusts herself to the sun, she'll get a really deep tan. But the problem is, here in Florida, it's kind of hard to slowly adjust yourself to the sun. And if she gets out there and she doesn't have that on, man, she'll burn. Oh, just terrible.
One quick story and we'll get started. One of the things that I have a lot of respect for Emma for is whenever we were doing student ministry stuff, we'd work these camps outside. She got cooked the first day. And, bad. But she said, you know what? I'm here. I'm serving. She did the rest of the week. Without complaining, just did it, and a lot of respect for
that. There you go.
Anyway, John chapter 20, Doubting Thomas. But you didn't title it Doubting Thomas. You titled it Honest Thomas.
Man, we beat Thomas up too much. I think it's time for us to say, you know, Thomas, he wasn't that bad of a guy. He probably responded the way that we would have. I mean, stop and think.
Yeah.
If you saw somebody die, they pull his body off a cross, you know he's put in a tomb, and then all of a sudden you miss out on when he shows up, and they're like, you're not going to believe it, Jesus is here. You're like, whatever.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy, man. I don't know what you've been doing, but anyway, we give him a bad rap. I hate that he's known as Doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you kind of correlated, you know, the fact that, you know, when Jesus came back, and that was one of your points, you know, it was when, you know, when talking about when Jesus showed up and Thomas wasn't there, but you kind of correlated that into gathering with the local church and, you know, the importance of that and the significance of being involved with a body of believers.
Well, I grabbed hold of the word assembled.
Yeah.
Because I was always taught that, you know, we are called out, but we are an assembled body of believers. And, of course, you know, you take the scripture from Hebrews where it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so I'm like, well, here they are. They're followers of Christ. He uses the word disciples, but he wasn't talking about the office of disciple.
Right.
He was just talking about the followers of Christ. They're gathered together. Everybody's there except Thomas. And Thomas missed out on some pretty important stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's key for us to be gathered together. And I even made the statement that, and I believe this is true. You showed me somebody who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and they say they don't want to go to church. Ooh.
Yeah.
I have to call into question, do you know the same Jesus that I know? Because what's important to him ought to be important to me.
Yeah.
What he loves, I ought to love. What does he love? He loves the church.
Yeah.
It's his bride. And so, and we'll have folks that'll say, well, I don't go to church because I've been so disappointed by churches before. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So have I. Well, the difference is we're not called to perfection. I even say, well, if you find the perfect church, don't you dare join because you'll mess the whole place up. It's a family doing life together.
Yeah.
And there will be times of disappointment, but there'll be great times of encouragement. Also, great times of forgiveness. And so I just think that's key. What the devil wants to do is he wants to do what happened with Thomas. He wants to isolate us.
Yeah.
He wants to get us away, and he wants us to miss out on the miraculous. He wants us to miss out on the encouragement. And I would say just kind of that environment that we find ourselves in when we gather together as the church.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned, you know, it's important for us to be apart because we need each other. And I was thinking about, you know, when Paul was writing in Romans to the believers there, he kind of alludes to the same thing, saying, you know, like, not only did they need him and the message that he was saying and the encouragement that was being brought to them for the things that they were going to, but he also said, I need you. So, like, you know, Paul being this leader, this well-known gospel guy, he says, you know, I need you. And so I was thinking about that, you know, part of the church community is, yeah, we are ministers of the gospel, and this is our vocation that we've been called to, but man, we need people. We need them just as much as we do for them.
Well, I mean, and the way he has set the church up is every one of us have a vital role in the mission of the church, which the mission of our church, love God, love people, tell the story. It's a gospel-focused mission, and I would say the mission of every church should be a gospel-focused mission. And in order for us to carry that out, we believe that God has given us all these parts, all these people that are a part of the body of Christ here at Highland Park, and each one has a unique role. There is no role that is more important than the other role. I know we tend to, we want to tier the importance of roles, but you know, I've used the illustration of our body. The Bible talks about the church being the body of Christ, and each part functioning, not independently, but has an independent function, but it all correlates together. And for instance, the little toe. Hey, I don't need my little toe. I know some guys who've lost little toes, and they're like, I can't even walk, man. It's hard.
Out of balance.
Out of balance. So you may think, well, I'm a little toe of the church. That's okay. Little toes are important. And so he brings us all together, and to stop and think that he has said, I want you to be a part of my local church because I want to accomplish something through the local church that otherwise I wouldn't accomplish if you weren't a part of it.
Yeah.
And so the way I say it is, it's not about somebody doing everything, but it's about everyone doing something.
Yeah.
And that's how the church functions. Yeah. And here's what I found as well. If I'm not serving through the local church, then the next thing you know, I'll sit and I'll sour.
Yeah.
And that can be a very negative for my spiritual life, I would say as well, negative for the testimony of the body of Christ.
Well, and you even talk about doubt.
Yeah.
Like when the commitment level is low, sometimes that leads to doubt. And when there's doubt, then all of a sudden the commitment level is low. So, I mean, it's kind of this cyclical thing, but like.
We're talking about a guy 2,000 years later that we're still calling Doubting Thomas.
Yeah, right.
And had he been there that night where he should have been assembled together with the other believers, he wouldn't have had doubts. I don't know. We would have said, well, you remember Thomas. Thomas was the one ready to kill some people.
Yeah.
But I think it's important. And it's a hard issue. There are folks that a lot of times will say, oh, you're just so dogmatic about church attendance. And they approach it almost as, well, you're successful by how many people come to church or don't come to church. Or, I mean, naturally, I want as many people as we can get here to church because those are the people that get to hear the gospel and can have the opportunity to respond. And it also, I believe, it helps people identify spiritual gifts and gives them opportunity to serve and use those spiritual gifts. And for the life of me, I can't figure out someone who professes to be a follower of Christ and says that they love Jesus, but they don't want to be a part of his bride. And so to me, it's a hard issue. It's not a legalism issue. And the reason why I say it's not a legalism issue is I've never, even before I pastored, I've never approached church as, man, I've got to go to that place.
Yeah.
When I don't go to church, I don't even know what day of the week it is.
Well,
everything's out of focus and it just doesn't seem right.
Well, I feel like I'm missing something.
Well, case in point, yesterday morning we had 8 individuals that followed through in believers' baptism, and baptism is that professing Christ as Lord and Savior, because we even asked the question, who is the Lord of your life? And they respond, Jesus Christ. And so to stop and think, we had the opportunity yesterday to hear the testimony of 8 individuals that said, I used to be lost and now I'm found. Yeah. I used to be dead and now I'm alive. Yeah. What in the world? Where could you go and be a part of something like that?
Well, it rings true that spiritual atmosphere, that supernatural atmosphere, as I think the way you put it, that supernatural environment where miracles are happening. We saw it, you know, from death to life. And, you know, well, and then, you know, to go along that with that, you talk about the reasons to gather together is there is spiritual encouragement along with this supernatural environment.
There are things that happen when the body of Christ comes together.
Yeah.
The power that is there that is unlike any other place. I'll never forget, I pastored in Little Rock, Arkansas before I came here 15 years ago. And I had a guy from my church who worked at the power company, and we were in downtown North Little Rock one night, and this just so happened at, I think it was Alltel Arena, they were hosting a Hannah Montana concert. You remember Hannah Montana? Miley Cyrus? Yeah. That was her Disney character. Journey remembers. He used to watch that show regularly.
He watched it quite a bit with his daughter, yeah.
But she was in concert that night, and people were everywhere. These teenage girls were screaming and all this kind of stuff. And here's this guy with the power company sitting right next to me. And that just shows you how his mind works. And he's like, can you imagine how much power is in that arena tonight? Mm. And he's talking about electrical power. Can you imagine how much power is in that arena tonight? And it was a Saturday night. And I said, not as much power that'll be at Central Baptist Church tomorrow morning when the church gathers together. Yeah. And that's the supernatural power of Christ. And we need that.
Yeah.
We need the encouragement. We need to be a part of the atmosphere where we get to see the fruit of the gospel and lives being changed, and we get to exalt and praise his name. And so I would just say, anybody that's listening and you say, well, you know, I had a bad church experience, and so I'm not actively involved in church right now. Man, the best thing in the world for you to do is, hey, my eyes are not going to be on men, because men are always going to let you down. I can promise you, if you hang around me long enough, I'm going to let you down. I let myself down from time to time. And so instead, let my eyes be upon Christ, and I want to be a part of church, number one, because he tells me, hey, don't stop going.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together unless you find yourself in a church that's disappointed you.
Yeah.
I would say you find yourself a good church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, that consistently teaches what the Word of God says, in a place where you enjoy being a part. I tease all the time, and I'm like, hey, if you've tried 12 churches in your neighborhood, in your town, and you're like, they all stink, maybe it's time for a physical, spiritual adjustment for yourself. But it's vital, because the devil wants to separate, the devil wants to isolate, and the devil loves to attack you. And brothers and sisters in Christ, they are together. There's the reason why a cord of three is stronger than a cord of two. A cord of two is stronger than one by themselves. Scripture tells us those things. And so be a part of a local church. It is absolutely essential for you to spiritually growing, being a part of a local church.
Yeah. When I was thinking about it, you know, as you were talking about this spiritual encouragement, and you know, I wrote, he showed up, Jesus showed up. I'm like, if we think about that, like when Jesus shows up, there's going to be this spiritual encouragement. And you know, when we do what we claim to do here, where we proclaim the name of Jesus and it's all about Jesus. And I know we talked about this, you know, you make a beeline to the cross as quick as you can when it comes to teaching. Well, when the focus is Jesus, there's gonna be encouragement.
I had somebody yesterday who came to the Welcome Center afterwards. We had a lot of visitors. It's weird to be a spring break weekend. Maybe they were visiting from out of town, but no. I mean, I met several visitors that were here locally. So I had somebody that came up and they're like, "Hey, we've been attending now for 6 weeks." And it takes some of them a while, right? And I get it. We have this, and even then they're not ready to necessarily give contact info. And I'm like, I promise we're not going to sell it to anybody but hey, whenever you feel led.
Yeah, bald-headed bearded guy reach out to you. That's about it.
Well, yeah. But he's not going to come sit on your couch unless you invite him to. Yeah. So they made this comment. They said, you know, I always heard about churches where the preacher would preach through the Bible verse by verse. And I just always thought, as well as the people that I was around, my goodness, how boring must that be? And they're like, you've proven me wrong. And I'm like, it's not me proving you wrong. Yeah. I mean, the Bible is not boring. Mm. The Bible is the most exciting book you'll ever read. And I even made this statement to them. You know, other books you read, you finish, you close them up, you put them on the shelf. The only time you pull them off to reread them is if you find yourself maybe stuck in the house after a snow blizzard or something like that. And you're like, I'm out of books. I'll reread this one again.
We actually had one of those this year.
We did. But you never do that with the Bible.
Yeah.
I had a guy one time ask me this. He goes, where do you get your material? And I said, well, the Bible. And he said, well, what happens when you preach through the whole Bible? And I'm like, no, it ain't. I never read through the whole Bible, preach through the whole Bible, because it's not about me reading the Bible. It's about the Bible reading me.
Yeah.
And you never run out of material.
Yeah, start over.
Start over again. Yeah. And it is all the precepts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the principles never change. But I find myself in different seasons of life. Yeah. I can promise you this. I read the Bible a lot different as a married man than I did as a single man.
Yeah.
I read the Bible a lot different as a father than I did as someone who didn't have kids.
Yeah.
Somebody who goes through a tragedy. Man, the I read it differently. Yeah. Now, again, the Bible, what it says, does not change.
Right.
It is not subjective to all these different things. It's the same precept. It's the same word. It just hits me different.
Yeah.
It reveals itself to me and presses in different areas in different seasons of life. And so, so basically for our listeners, we've kind of told them two things today. Number one, you need to be a part of a local New Testament church that preaches the gospel and preaches the Bible. Find you one. And if you can't find one, I would say this, man, shoot us an email at, what is it, unchangeabletruth@highlandpark.org?
Correct.
Podcast.
Excuse me, podcast. Thank you, Journey. That's why Journey's here.
That's right.
Podcast at Highland Park. And that's HILANDPARK.org. Or actually, you probably even, if you're listening to this through some of our platforms, you can comment. Just say, "Hey, I live so and so, and I don't know of a good church. Could y'all recommend one to?" We'll be happy to try to recommend one to you. If we don't know of one, I can promise you, between the ministerial staff here, we will know of someone that we can trust that will be able to recommend one. Yeah. And number two, maybe it's been a long time since you've sat down and been consistent reading the Bible. You'll never go wrong reading the Bible. Mm. You're like, "Well, there are days I just feel like I don't get anything out." That's okay. Go ahead and keep reading.
Yeah.
Go ahead and keep reading it. Asking God, reveal more of yourself to me.
Yeah.
And I can say this, that both of those things are null and void unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know him?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm beating you to the punch, but Thomas comes to the point where he does. He says, "My Lord and my God."
Yeah.
No, there's not a more powerful confession of faith that you'll find anywhere than that right there from old Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of that, you know, one of your next thoughts is, you know, Thomas asked for proof. He asked for that proof. And I got to, like, can you imagine, like, being in that moment? I don't know. Sometimes I put on my sanctified imagination and, you know, kind of want to, I don't know, like, Jesus is there. He asked for it. In that moment, like, I don't know. It kind of blows me away.
I very easily could see myself saying exactly what Thomas said.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe it unless I see it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to believe it. Are you kidding me? And I mean, he might take it a step far, but he's being very adamant there. We even talk about the double negative in the sermon. He's like, I will know never. Never believe unless I'm able to see the nail prints in his hands.
And then you said something that I've never heard it put this way, or maybe I just missed it when people have, but you know, you were talking about those wounds were meant for healing and forgiveness. And, you know, you talk about reading the Bible different, you know, as a person who is growing and learning, trying to grow and learn constantly, like, understanding grace a little bit more, understanding mercy a little bit more, like, reflecting on what Jesus did on the cross. Yeah, those wounds are meant for healing and forgiveness. That's a very powerful statement to me.
Well, absolutely. And that's, of course, that's what it says.
Yeah.
You know, in the text that we read, by his wounds you have been healed. That's over in 1 Peter chapter 2. And the point that I was making is, because I've heard a lot of folks that have said, see right here, and even in their prayer, when they're praying for a physical healing, they'll claim, "Hey, Lord, listen, it is by your wounds that we have been healed."
Yeah.
And I don't want to make light of that. I truly believe that God is a God of healing, you know, James tells us, "Hey, if anyone among you is sick, call the righteous men of the church, you know, and, you know, have them anoint you with oil and pray for you." And so I believe in following that premise that God, if healing is going to come to anyone, it's going to have to come at the hands of God. I believe that. My wife and I this morning were just praying, you know, just, and our prayer kind of goes like this. "Hey, Lord, we're not putting our stock in medicine or doctors or anything as far as Jennifer remaining in a state where they don't use the word cancer-free or remission. I mean, it's just like we don't see anything that would indicate there's cancer."
Right.
And, hey, Lord, our prayers for that because there's a drug they've got her on, and the side effects are just extremely bad to the point where she may quit taking that. Mm. And so one of the things we said over and over, Lord, we understand healing comes from you. Now, God works through all those things, clearly, but that's not where my faith lies. That's not where our faith lies. And so for those who sit there and say, hey, by your wounds we are healed, and they claim that talking about a physical healing, yes, he can speak and you can be healed. But this here is talking about a heart healing. This here is talking about the greatest healing that any of us need, and that is our sins to be forgiven. And there, you know, I'm sure there are folks that are watching this program, and they would think, you know, boy, if I could just be cured of this disease, then I would finally have peace. I mean, I pray that you are cured of that disease, but you'll never have peace.
Yeah.
If I could just have all my bills paid, if I could just win the lottery. I tease and say all the time, you got a greater chance of getting shot going to buy a lottery ticket than winning the lottery. But I saw the other night in the news that some dude won like a $10 million lottery or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you ever watch those programs where they kind of do a tracking of what happened to people who won the lottery, it's unbelievably sad. Mm. But again, they've put their stock in, boy, if I can just get enough money, then I'll have peace. If I can just have physical healing, then I'll have peace. No, the healing that he's talking about here is your soul being forgiven. That's the only thing that'll bring peace. Call out to Jesus. Come into my life. Save me. I cry out to you. Forgive me of my sin. And then that's where peace comes. So I love that verse. It's a great, he had to be wounded so that we might be healed.
And and so speaking of in this moment with Thomas, when and I kind of put like in my own head, like Thomas changed his tune, like my Lord, my God, he saw who Jesus really was in that moment, and you know it changed him. And
well, Jesus showed up.
Yeah, well, yeah, the encouragement, like he showed up.
He showed up the first time, and the disciples went from warriors to worshipers.
Yeah.
That's what Scripture's like. They were there, they were hiding, they were afraid, and then all of a sudden it says Jesus showed up, and they were glad in their heart.
Right.
And then when Jesus showed up there with Thomas, I'm sure Thomas was a little embarrassed, and then Thomas made a great statement. My Lord, my God, exclamation point. Here's what I said. He went from the skeptic to a shouter.
Yeah.
A doubter to a shouter, right?
Yeah.
That can be true for everyone. Just call on the name of Jesus, cry out to him. Doubts are an inevitable part of life.
Yeah.
Because the flesh lies to us. We want to think, well, God's with me if everything's going well.
Yeah.
He loves you too much.
Yeah.
He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. Just keep your eyes on him. As long as you're living this life, there are going to be good days, there are going to be bad days.
Yeah.
But do not let the characteristics of your day define whether the Lord is with you or not.
Mm. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the Unchangeable Truth. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. We'll see you next time.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.